Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, Numbers 771 to 850. M.R., Number 829, The Third Angel's Message. The Word of God and His Law is binding upon every intelligent mind. The truth for this time, the Third Angel's Message, is to be proclaimed with a loud voice, meaning with increasing power, as we approach the great final test. This test must come to the churches in connection with the true medical missionary work, a work that has the great physician to dictate and preside in all it comprehends. Under the great head, we are to present God's Word, requiring obedience to the system of Bible truth, which is a system of authority and power, convicting and converting the conscience. The demand of the Word to obedience is a life and death question. The present truth for this time comprises the messages, the third angel's message succeeding the first and second. The presentation of this message, with all it embraces, is our work. We stand as the remnant people in these last days to promulgate the truth and swell the cry of the third angel's wonderful distinct message, giving the trumpet a certain sound. Eternal truth, which we have adhered to from the beginning, is to be maintained in all its increasing importance to the close of probation. The trumpet is to give no uncertain sound. We must devise and plan wisely, practicing simplicity and the strictest economy, and manifesting Christ's likeness of character. Faith, eternal faith in the past and in the present truth, is to be talked, is to be prayed, is to be presented with pen and voice. The third angel's message, in its clear, definite terms, is to be made the prominent warning. All that it comprehends is to be made intelligible to the reasoning minds of today. While we bind ourselves to the development of the truth in the past angel's messages, we are announcing the message of the third angel and of the other angel that follows the third, the second time proclaiming the fall of Babylon. We are to give the message, "Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Revelation 18, verse 1, 4. This message is to come to the churches. We are to consider the best plans for accomplishing this. The message must be so presented as to command the attention of reasoning minds. These sacred truths, believed and practiced, are not to be carried in any coercive manner, but in the spirit of the Master. The Holy Spirit will reach noble minds and the better spirit of men. In all our sanitariums, there should be men who understand the doctrine of truth and who can present it by pen and voice. They will be brought in contact with men of no mean minds, and they should plead with them as they would plead with an only son. It should be our aim, saith the Lord, not to put in responsible positions of trust men who are not fitted by experience, men who do not take deep views of Bible truth. Many suppose that appearance and style and pretense are to do a great work in reaching the higher classes. But this is an error. These persons can read these things. Appearance has something, yes, much to do with the impressions made upon minds, but the appearance must be after a godly sort. Let it be seen that the workers are bound up with God and heaven. There should be no striving for recognition by worldly men in order to give character and influence to the work in these last days. Consistency is a jewel. Our faith, our dress, and our deportment must be in harmony with the character of our work, the presentation of the most solemn message ever given to the world. Our work is to win men to belief of the truth, to win by preaching and by example, also by living godly lives. The truth in all its bearings is to be acted, showing the consistency of faith with practice. The value of our faith will be shown by its fruit. The Lord can and will impress men by our intense earnestness. Our dress, our deportment, our conversation, and the depth of a growing experience in spiritual lines, all are to show that the great principles of truth we are handling are a reality to us. Thus, the truth is to be made impressive as a great whole and command the intellect. Truth, Bible truth, is to become the authority for the conscience and the love and life of the soul. In our institutions and in all our work, there is need of conscientious, godly men. Men who have been wrestlers in their life work, who have maintained faith and a clear conscience. Men who are seeking, not for the applause of the people, but for the favor of God. Men through whom the Lord can work. We want men who will make it their first business to wrestle with God in prayer, and then go forth in the wisdom of the inspiration that God can give. Then we are a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. If men would not have their minds darkened, their hearts hardened, they must obey God at any cost to themselves. They are not only to pray to God, but to act their prayers. There is a work to be done in our world, and Brother and Sister Haskell, we must be of the number who will do this work. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Daniel 12, verse 10. The inability to understand is because of the strong unwillingness to confess and forsake error and accept the truth which involves a cross. Satan will strive to retain every soul in his strong power. He will not willingly let go his dominion over men who have influence upon other minds. Therefore, God's own methods of advancing the gospel in his dominion are met by great opposition from the whole synagogue of the satanic agencies. As the last conflict with Satan will be the most decisive, the most deceptive and terrible that has ever been, so also will his overthrow be the most complete. After breakfast, all but the last paragraph of the preceding letter I wrote between 5:15 and 7:00. My mind was clear, and the Spirit of the Lord was manifestly upon me as I wrote. I shall try to place myself in the hands of the Lord moment by moment. I realize that the wisdom of men is foolishness. The wisdom of God is infallible. The final resurrection to judgment will complete on the one hand the triumph of Christ and his church, and on the other will be the destruction of Satan and his followers. Time will be the only sure revealer of God's plan. In every action, God looks at the heart. No external arrangements in conformity with the world to secure its friendship can be made without positive danger of transgressing God's holy precepts. Pride and love of worldly praise lie at the foundation of all this self-exaltation and desire for recognition. These prompt a desire for outward show and an appearance of being linked with the friendship of the world. Self-righteousness, which is so deceptive, is bound up with the unsanctified heart. The warning is given us, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James 4, verse 4. Oh, that our physicians and ministers and church members may see this matter in its true bearing. Oh, that they may exalt the Lord God and let him be their fear and their dread. White Estate, Washington, D.C., January 27, 1981.